This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com. We recently received an email that I wanted to say a few things about. It comes from a person who goes by the name Sharble, and he wrote in to basically find fault with our video, The Most Specific Heresy in Vatican II. He said, quote, "Hi there, I was just watching the video titled The Most Specific Heresy in Vatican II. I'm not sure I agree with your conclusions, as the text from Nostra Aetate just says the Jews, whereas the papal declaration is on anyone who holds a contrary view. These two things are not the same. You would have to show clearly that the Vatican II document was referring to the Jews as a spiritual nation, or as a people holding to Judaism or another similar definition, as something distinct from simply a nation or people. That is, you would have to demonstrate that Nostra Aetate is definitely saying that the Jews, as a people who reject Christ and have a messianic expectation, shouldn't be considered as rejected." And I'll stop it there. In our video, The Most Specific Heresy in Vatican II, which if you have not seen it, I encourage you to see it. It's a very important video. It shows how the Council of Florence solemnly defined that the Church rejects anyone who holds a different view from the Catholic Church on the Trinity or the Incarnation. That, of course, would mean that the Jews and the Muslims, etc., are rejected. And Vatican II in Nostra Aetate number 4 teaches exactly the opposite when it says, quote, "Although the Church is the new people of God, the Jews should not be presented as rejected or accursed by God, as if this followed from the Holy Scriptures," end quote. And what's so interesting about this is that both the Council of Florence and Vatican II use the word rejected or rejects coming from the same Latin verb, reprobo, which means I reject. It also is where we get the word reprobate. So the Council of Florence is saying that all who do not accept Christ are reprobated, and Vatican II is teaching exactly the opposite, that they should not be looked upon as having been reprobated, as if this followed from the Holy Scriptures. It's blatant heresy. It couldn't be more specific. And so, what do you know? This individual is not convinced because there's just too much bad will out there. And his argument is that it's not clear that Nostra Aetate number 4 is talking about the Jews as a religion. He says that it would have to be demonstrated that it's talking about the Jews as a people who reject Christ, not simply as a race of people, he says. So his argument is that it could be talking about the Jews as sharing a common bloodline, or as a people distinct from their religious views. That is absurd. It's absurd because the document itself is called the Declaration on the Relation of the Church to Non-Christian Religions. So the subject of the document deals with non-Christian religions, Judaism as a religion, Hinduism, Buddhism, etc. The very title of the document refutes his objection. Secondly, in the very context of number 4, it makes it clear it's talking about Jews who did not accept Christ and are not part of the Church. It says right in that paragraph that it's talking about, quote, "The Jewish authorities and those who follow their lead press for the death of Christ. Still, what happened in his passion cannot be charged against all the Jews without distinction then alive, nor against the Jews of today. Although the Church is the new people of God, the Jews should not be presented as rejected or accursed by God." So it's talking about Jews who did not accept Christ. It's contrasting the Church with the Jews. So it's talking about Jews who are not part of the Church. It's simply a fact. It's obvious. It's talking about members of the Jewish faith. And the third point to silence this objection is the fact that we have quote after quote from Benedict XVI, John Paul II, etc., in which they make it clear that Nostra Aetate was the foundation for an entirely new relationship between the Jews as a religious people and the quote Catholic Church. And in our section on Benedict XVI, you can find many of those quotes in the file of his recent heresies, and you can actually find numerous quotes from rabbis talking to Benedict XVI, and they're trading speeches, and you can see that they're citing Nostra Aetate each time. They say this was the landmark document that ushered in a new era and a different way of viewing the two religions. And so it's just a ridiculous objection. And also, there are many theologians who, in the years after Vatican II, etc., who pointed to Nostra Aetate as the foundation for this new practice and this new way of viewing Judaism. So the objection is ridiculous, but the reason I brought it up is because it's an example of the bad will we're dealing with. People hear us talk about bad will a lot because, frankly, that's what we're seeing everywhere. That's the biggest problem today. People who do not love the truth, people who hate the truth, and hate those who talk about the truth. And so they're attracted to the lie. And this is a prime example. He's looking for any way to try to run from what any person who is not biased against the truth would conclude, unless you have an agenda in your heart, and it might be subtle, it might be something you don't even totally realize. He has an agenda to try to explain this away, rather than simply looking at it without a bias and saying, what is this saying? Is this compatible with Catholic teaching? No, it isn't. How do the Vatican II antipopes understand it? Well, we can all see how they understand it. Going to the synagogue, the revising of the Good Friday prayer, on and on and on. It's all from this new teaching on Judaism and Nostra Aetate. Other examples of bad will, and actually in his email, he goes on to unfortunately demonstrate a few of them. He goes on to criticize our video, our little YouTube video that is titled, Is Benedict XVI a Member of the Illuminati? And he says, in the video, apart from repeating points you made in other videos, you offer only one point to support the argument, namely that Adam Weishaupt mentions a shell, and Benedict XVI has worn vestments with a shell image. You say nothing else. It is a skeleton. End quote. So he's criticizing the fact that we didn't provide more evidence that he's a member of the Illuminati. This is an example of bad will, and I'm going to explain why. Anyone who's careful in their thought or honest in their thought knows that that is a snippet of a much larger DVD, a DVD that's actually 2.5 hours. It's only a short portion of The Third Secret of Fatima, The Impostor Sister Lucia, and The End of the World. And we didn't say that it proves he's a member of the Illuminati. We simply included it as something to think about that might reveal he's a member of the Illuminati. The question is not whether Benedict XVI is a Catholic. Anyone who's honest, and unfortunately there are few people who are honest, knows he's not a Catholic. He's a total apostate. He's totally wicked. The only question is, what kind of conspirator is he? He's got the Star of David on his mitre. He's been a revolutionary posing as a Catholic for decades. He doesn't even believe in the papacy, as demonstrated by his book, Principles of Catholic Theology, yet poses as the Pope. For those who don't have their heads in the sand, who actually love Christ and love the truth, it's obvious the guy is not a Catholic. The only question is, what kind of conspirator is he? And so it's not a stretch at all to conclude that he's a member of some kind of secret society. And when he's prominently featuring this shell vestment the way he does, it is a legitimate question to ask. And no one's saying that this is absolute proof. It's just something to think about. And that's, again, the bad will we're talking about here. You can't even throw anything in as an extra consideration for these people because they're so dishonest that they will divorce that from the context of everything else you've established, mountains of heresy, all kinds of research, direct quotes to all of his books. We got every dogma, basically, you can think of: the unity of the church, original sin, baptism, the Eucharist, the papacy, the decree on justification. It's all denied by him, but they ignore it all. They'll take a snippet of this thing about the Illuminati, where you don't even say it proves he's a part of the Illuminati, and say that this is your argument. No, it isn't. It's just something extra for the goodwill people to think about, and unfortunately, you're not part of that camp. And so this is what they do. It's similar to other people who can see in our material. We have thousands of references. Almost all of them are from first-hand sources, whether it's from papal documents or a person's actual speech. And when you do lots of research and make many presentations, you're going to have a few things that come from secondhand sources. And so what they will do is they will ignore thousands of other things that are absolutely indisputable and try to focus on one little reference that you made, which they feel is questionable. Those are people that God leaves in darkness because they're of bad will. They hate the truth, and they're just not of God. And that's unfortunately the majority of the people you're dealing with today, including those who purport to be traditional Catholics. That's the sad fact that those who have dealt in this area have come to realize that they're not of the truth. Another example of bad will, because someone asked us about this, how is bad will manifested? I'll give you another example. Someone was trying to critique something I wrote on the Council of Trent and contradicting baptism of desire. And I quoted a Latin scholar from Oxford Latin to demonstrate that the word aut in Latin, which means or, can be used in the fashion that I was articulating, because these people dishonestly deny that. And so to show that they're completely wrong, I simply cited a Latin scholar in my book. And this person, in his critique, which is filled with false arguments, says that I needed a Latin scholar to tell me what that word means in Latin. That's a lie. I know what the word means. Anyone who looks up the word in a Latin dictionary can find out what it means. But notice the subtle distortion there. That's a mortal sin. I didn't cite the Latin scholar to tell me what the word means. I cited the Latin scholar to demonstrate to others that it can be used in the way that I was articulating. When people lie about those things and pervert the truth, even in those subtle ways, it's a grave sin. And that's why people like that do not receive the grace from Jesus Christ to love the truth and accept the truth. And they're moved without even knowing it to reject it because they're dishonest in these little arguments and in the minutiae of their presentations. And we see that all the time, not just on the salvation issue. We see it in their writings and arguments defending Benedict XVI. They lie in small ways and it adds up. And when people offend in those small things, then they will offend in the big things. And it gets back to the parable of our Lord in Matthew 25, where he's telling the story of the faithful servant to whom he says in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, good and faithful servant, because thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will place thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And so because God sees that they're dishonest in even these small dealings, these small points, he resists them and rejects them.